You don't want to ruin the milk.
Say hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Hey, sweet baby.
Okay, sweet baby, I'm sure you've got a recipe that we could cook up something with. But here we go with Fish and Frank, Pastor Donnie, and Captain Barry.
What's up, everybody?
And we are cooking fish today. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we are cooking cobia.
Cobia, yeah.
Cobia.
Cobia, yeah.
I don't know where I got that from, but... Maybe I'm going back to the days in Central America. I used to go down there a lot. Cobia! I don't know.
It's just exciting because they're very tasty. So I say cobia all the time.
Cobia-yum.
Cobia-yum. There we go.
Yum-yum.
There we go.
All right. Let me see if I can get him to quit playing. There we go. Okay, that's off.
Very good on the banjo there, Frank. Thank you.
You know, I'm sitting there. I'm getting excited because I've only got a couple more days till my music room is ready. And I can actually play again. I'm getting excited.
Wow. It is pretty nice little deal over there.
Oh, not yet, but it's way better than the first time you saw it.
I can't
so
wait.
You're seeing by progression.
To hear you play. That shocked me. I didn't know you played.
Yeah. Well,
so we're going to have live music in the studio?
Well, no. Actually, in the studio next to us over like, here. If Morris agrees to play it while we're doing this, I'll have that live music, but I'm not. You don't want me playing guitar.
Okay.
Cobia is the thing today. If you ever see one, looks a lot like a shark, but it also looks a lot like a catfish.
Or like a remora, too.
It's like a remora.
Yeah. You can confuse a remora with a shark with a little bit of catfish in it.
Yeah. Somewhere along the line, its grandmother had a real good time one night.
Oh, my. Yeah. Wow. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, there was one shark. He was out. He was lonely late at night, out by the sandbar.
That's not how any
there's
of this works.
Food. You know, there's this pretty-looking catfish, and she's just strutting her catfish stuff. And then all of a sudden, cobia came out, you know?
There's plenty of fish in the sea. Why not, you know?
Hey.
That's not how any of this works.
No?
No.
Oh.
You don't
live in the ocean, do you, Pastor?
Yeah, but you can have one species and another completely different species to have a new species. Like black drum and redfish, they're similar, so they can interbreed. And the one that we caught, as we was talking about, they kind of mixed.
I'm going to go with it was a lonely shark. It was a long night. You know, sitting off the coast of Mexico, a couple yucca plants
Tessie's
in
drink.
The water, a little tequila. Good-looking catfish. She's got really cute fins. Not even that shark was going to be.
PG, Frank. PG,
those
Frank.
Those pectoral fins can sometimes fool you, you know?
Yay, my goodness. Here we go. You know what? I think we ought to get on the tune of cooking the fish, all right?
You guys knew better than to let me talk.
I don't know what's wrong with us. I really don't.
So, let's recap a little bit on how to catch these fish real quick, though, right on this cooking fish. So, on God and Fishing, we did cover the cobia, and I would say the quick and easy way to catch a cobia in the harbor, and they don't have to be caught from boat, by the way. You can catch them offshore and near shore and even in the harbor on a boat, but especially in the months of, if you're in this area, it's like April or May, near the new and full moons with those heavy outgoing tides, get on one of like the local piers and just cast out a hunk of catfish, a hunk of whiting.
That's actually going to work on the Atlantic, on the Gulf.
True.
It's going to work all over the country. Cobia are literally found from like the entire East Coast. There are a couple of states way up north that may not have them, but really, let's guarantee anything from Carolinas all the way around down through Texas and back up California.
Yeah.
They're worldwide.
So fast moving tide, chunks of meat.
Right. I just find during that time of the year, they're coming in to spawn in our harbor.
Yep.
So they're on those higher tides, they will come up closer to shore. And a hunk of meat, whether it be cat, they literally eat almost anything depending on what mood they're in. They'll eat ladyfish, mullet, a chunk of a southern stingray, whiting, which is probably one of the top baits to use, shrimp on a float, you know, anything. That's like
And if you're looking up whiting in a book, it's a local name for them. They're actually a southern point. Gulf kingfish.
Good point.
So,
and you can hook any of these baits with you can use a J hook, maybe 6 to 8-0, depending on the size of the bait. Just use a hook that matches it. You can use steel leader because the bait's going to be sitting on the bottom, and you might also hook a shark during that time of the year. Yep. So why not use like at least a minimum of a foot wire piece of wire? If you use a foot piece of wire, you need to at least have 60 or 80 pound, like a section of maybe 4 to 5 feet above that before you get connected to your braid or your main line. Yep. That way you have a little bit of chafing room for a shark if you hook one. And that's basically it. It can be not surf, but spinning or casting gear, and just hunk that chunk of meat out there and just let it sit. Those cobia will, if they're there, they'll pick it up.
They're not shy. You don't have to kid them around with having carbon fiber or mono.
Fluorocarbon, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to have that. They're not going to run away from anything.
If they're hungry, they'll eat it, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, and crabs. They love crabs. So you can throw one of those on a hook and a float and let it float around out there, too.
All right, so we catch one. How do you want to prepare it?
Okay.
These are big fish. Sometimes they're pretty big fish.
Yeah. I've tried it. Cobia are number one, my hands-down favorite fish to eat. I haven't found anything that's...
How do you clean it?
I was just going to get into that.
Okay.
I do everything from... It's not just cooking it, but what I like to do when I first catch a cobia, they're very squirrely once you get them out of the water, on the pier or on the boat. The first thing I like to do is bleed them. Bleed them out. There's a like little section between, if you look underneath them, between their two gill plates. That's how the best way to describe it. Just make an incision like from one gill plate to the other, so it goes all the way down to the gills.
He's going to slice his throat. Okay.
All right. First of all, he made the motion that he was in a mafia where he was silencing.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Well, as big as he is, I wasn't going to say anything because I thought, okay.
I'm going to call him out on
it. I'm kind of a little fella. You can probably handle him.
I'm going to call him out on it. He was like... Cut his neck. Give him the was it? The smile. The
yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
So I do that because if you don't, I mean, you can do it whichever way you would like. But I find when they're alive and you bleed them out immediately, you get turn them on their head. Like put them nose down, like leaning up, well upside down, with their head on the ground, whether it be on the pier or in the back of your boat, for just at least 2-3 minutes, let that blood, the gravity, pull it out of their system, and it'll all flush out. And then you can, put it on ice until you're ready to, actually clean it.
Now, for me, I go along with that. If I have a big ice chest, like, say, if we're in Donnie's boat, because he's probably got a monster ice chest in there, and I can take him and throw him in ice while he's alive. If he dies before I get him off the hook, I'm going to bleed him. But if he's still alive, I'm going to throw him on ice, especially ice and water.
Like a brine?
Yeah, because hypothermia is...
going to close the vessels and put all the blood...
Yeah, when any creature on the planet dies of hypothermia, all the blood comes out of the extremities, goes to protect the heart, the brains, the insides. So it takes all that out. I find it actually does a better job than bleeding them.
Okay.
But if you're on the pier,
the majority of the ones I catch are there like that.
Yeah, you really don't have a big enough ice chest.
If you do, you're going out with a lot of confidence knowing you're going to catch that cobia. Yeah,
that and it's on wheels.
Yeah, it's going to have to be on wheels. Or you got four buddies coming with you to carry this.
Yeah.
But whether you, however you want to do it, bleeding them or hypothermia, because both those are great ways of pulling some of the extra out of the meat and leaving just the good fish taste without the fishy flavor.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
And that's typically how I do mine. He's right. We do have a rather large ice chest, but I do a lot of my fish that way. I keep a lot of ice, a little bit of water, and I immediately throw it in there, and it kind of shocks them, and all the blood does go straight to the brain and the heart. And that way, when I clean them, I take off the head, take out the heart, and I'm done. Gotcha. And I got to clean meat.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well done. Okay. So let's get to your cobia recipe. We've caught them on crab, shrimp, cut mullet, whiting, all those kind of things. Heavy rod. You really want to be fishing with 50 to 65 pound test or more. But big rod, big reel, big fish. Mm-hmm. We've gutted them, right? We bled them. Now we've gutted them, right?
Yes. Okay. And I'm just, like, there's tons of way to fillet a cobia. There's really no right or wrong. I mean, if the best way I would say is like just YouTube filleting a cobia. There's so many different ways, and whatever way you feel comfortable with.
I usually just slice right along the ridge of the back.
That's
work
it. That's
the meat off
of
one side.
Yep.
Then I work the meat off the other side.
Yes.
And cut them at the gills. Now I got two big slabs to work with.
Right.
I use a 9-inch knife. I like Dexter Russell because Dexter Russell's 200-year-old made in America company. It's not some imported junk. I know what the steel is. The only place in the whole world to buy virgin stainless or aluminum is the United States. Everybody else has recycled materials.
Yep.
You're always going to have bits and pieces of stuff in it, no matter what they say the grade is. The only place you can get real surgical steel is the United States. So Dexter Russell knife, I work it out, get the thin. Now, do you take the ribs out or leave the ribs in?
I was
in?
Just going to two comments on that, Frank. Number one, I'm not affiliated with that Dexter Russell brand, but I mean, I've had the same knife for like at least 6 to 8 years from your shop. I love the... It's got the nice curve to it, that fillet knife, and it's got a nice handle, and it's very, like, inexpensive, I'm not going to lie. So
probably the Rapala.
What's that? No, it's definitely a Dexter.
Oh, the Dexter, yeah.
And
well,
every
commercial fisherman in the world uses Dexter Russell, and probably 8 out of 10 butcher shops.
Really? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Dexter Russell is the number one knife in America.
Wow. So I use a Gerber hunting knife.
Gerber's a good knife, but... Yeah. An older one, say 6-8 years ago, awesome knife. Newer ones, they went import.
Yep.
The older Gerber's bad. It's like the old timers, cheap imports.
I know.
Big bucks, nasty knives.
Back in the day, they were one of the best knives you can get.
I've carried an old timer my whole life. Now I won't have one. But anyway,
yeah. So
you've got a Dexter Russell. Now, do you take the ribs out or you leave the ribs in?
Yeah. As you were describing, when you take the fillets off, I do like to, you know, skin it, take the skin off the meat, and then I like to just take off the rib cage, but like keep it because the cobia for the minimum length here is like 33 inches to the fork, and the average size that we catch here in the harbor is like 36 inches to the fork when they're, you know, of legal size. So a 36, that's about a 40-inch fish. The rib cages are massive. They're not like small like on a trout or redfish. Like the bones are huge, so they're actually enjoyable to eat. You don't have to be worried
about it.
So
you can almost like spare ribs on a cow.
Exactly.
Or a hog.
Exactly.
It's literally, you can make yourself a rack of cobia ribs.
Exactly. I'm not exaggerating. Well, a nice... 36
so
inches to the
let
port.
A little extra meat when you're cutting the ribs out, put a little extra meat on them so you can literally enjoy a rack of ribs off a cobia.
That's exactly it. One rack of one ribs will be good for like the average human. Now, I don't know about me and Pastor Donnie here, but we might need two.
Might be all right for me.
I looked at him when he said, enough for one, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. and you'll see the next step is to take the rest of the fillet. If there is like a red line, which is called like the bloodline in the fillet,
right,
I like to cut that out and just remove that. It's just with any fish, because that's like the fit, that's when you'll see it in sometimes in like the restaurants with salmon. They'll have that gray piece of meat going down the side.
Yep.
The salmon tastes amazing. You hit that gray piece and you're like, oh, it's so fishy.
Yep.
So with any fish, it does ruin that. You're like, oh man. So I like to take, the only thing I like to remove are the red line in that cobia fillet or any fish. And you'll notice from there, especially, this is why I like to bleed it, and same with, or you can put it in a brine like Frank and Pastor Donnie said, the meat on a cobia can be so white. It's beautiful white. It's like a grouper almost kind of white. And if there's blood, which won't affect the quality of the meat, but it's just sometimes it can stain it like a pink and not look as fresh. It's just visually pleasing. I like looking at bright white meat like that.
Right.
So from there, I'll go ahead and like cube the rest of the fillet into whatever size you feel is best. Maybe no more than like 3-4 inches.
Okay.
And make a ton of little cubes, and it just depends on how many people you're feeding that day. And from there, and if they're, I'm just going for the average size cobia, which is 36 to the fork. But if you get one of those big cobia, like 50 inches plus, you might need to like cut those cubes like in half again, because that you don't want the meat to be more than like an inch and a half thick when you throw it on the grill.
I usually try and keep my fish about an inch thick or less.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
The reason being is now like
moist
with a cobia, I tend to cut them like a loaf of bread so that I've got all the same thicknesses of meat.
uniform.
So, yeah, what I'm doing is I'm starting up by the thick part of the fillet, and I'm literally chopping it as I would a loaf of bread. So they're all going to be about 3/4 inch thick. I don't have to cook them too long and get nice and brown on the outside and still done on the inside. Mm-hmm. But I just keep slicing them all the way down. For me, that's been one of the best ways. Now, if you like thicker, you can absolutely go thicker chunks, an inch and a half. It works really good. You can cook them just a little bit longer. But, you know, however you like your meat, sometimes it's nice just a bite, because these are monster fish. Might as well take that big bite.
Yep.
You know, go for that inch and a half, 2 inch thick. But as long as they're all the same, you know how long to cook them. But if you've got 1/4 inch thick and 2 inch thick and all this, some are burnt, some are slimy. The more even you cut it, the more better your cooking is going to be.
Exactly. That's a really good piece of advice there, Frank.
Barry, he showed his age again. He was talking about slicing his own bread. I bought it already pre-sliced.
When I grew up there, young fella, I remember that. That was a heck of a thing.
I'm just saying. Even Publix bread is already pre-sliced. I don't know. All right, so now we got these things sliced up, Barry.
Just like
what
bread, yeah. Sorry, Frank.
That's okay. I'm getting used to it.
He's going
to
make a millennial joke on me or something. You're like in the happy medium range.
I'm in the medium. I'm both ways, yeah. I can remember cutting my own bread, but it's been a while.
So now that we've got the meat and the fish basically prepped and all cut up, this is the easiest recipe.
This is the one that was literally going to take 15 seconds. We were going to be done with this.
What are we at?
16 and a half minutes.
Oh, we're good.
Okay. It's okay. You know, I'm just saying, you know, was like 10 seconds worth of stuff. It's been 16 and a half minutes.
We ad-libbed a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We keep interrupting.
You're stealing my thunder. Yeah. Come on, guys.
No. Am I stealing your thunder?
Like 10 episodes ago, you're like, details, very details, and I'm trying to get
now
as much.
Now it's too much details.
Now it's
too much details.
I just can't get it right.
You're doing fine, millennial. Don't worry about it.
All right,
let me check my social media first. Now, so the next, this is what I mean by the recipe being very simple. Go to your local. We have Publix here up north. You guys got Kroger and Schnucks. Yep, I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Piggly Wiggly.
Get the garlic herb.
I'm a big fan of Piggly Wiggly.
Piggly.
Oh Lord. No, I can't do it. Muslim free since they've been open. Sorry. It's true, Frank. All right, go ahead.
So go ahead and get like a ton of garlic herb butter. That's it. That's the only ingredient you will need. Okay?
Nice.
Garlic herb butter. Bring it home. I mean, don't be conservative here.
Yeah.
Like, be very liberal and get a ton of, just melt all the sticks of butter.
Stop your arteries. I like it.
Yeah. So.
Well, the garlic's supposed to be good for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The little piece of the green herb.
If you even think at one point you're having cancer, just load it up with the garlic. Garlic's supposed to be very healthy.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Don't worry about their arteries. Let's go after the cancer.
Let's go to
the garlic.
We could go on a health discussion and talk about, is it really the carbohydrates that are good, or is it the fats are good for us? You know what I'm saying? That's what the whole ketogenic thing is.
It's the butter
about.
That's good for you.
Right. So.
Let me put it this way. Go back to when I was a kid, almost nobody had cancer because we ate butter, eggs.
Exactly.
That's
meat,
what I'm talking about.
I'm getting back to the basics, Frank. The
milk with curd in it. Oh, my gosh. It was
this recipe.
No, that was pretty nasty. I'm sorry.
Too far. Too far.
You're going in there, and that's all good.
Too
but,
far. All right.
I just wanted to say, Frank, my recipe is keto-friendly because there's only protein from the meat and then fats from the fish. There's not even probably
keto. Yuck. Is that like the Green Hornet sidekick?
Yeah, it could go either way.
It's a diet.
It's a
fad,
diet.
But not really, but kind
of. It's a rich person's diet.
It's a millennial thing, so.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm thinking, right, so you're saying keto, and I'm thinking Green Hornet.
Butter,
the
herbs.
The Oriental guy that did all the jumping around and stuff?
No.
I don't even know what that was before my time.
You don't know?
The Green Hornet?
Bruce
Lee in it.
Oh, that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, the first.
He was supposed to
the
be
first
the
first TV star.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like a backup guy, and the main guy was going to be the character.
Gotcha.
But he was so fast and so good, he became the main character.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yep. So now, that's all good. So now we've got all this garlic herb butter. We know the garlic's really good for you, and questionable at the butter.
Yeah.
The fat part. And it's got nice little green pieces of, I don't even know
flakes.
What.
Flakes. Parsley. That's parsley.
Is it?
Yep.
So it makes it look nice and cool. So you melt that butter just enough to get it to liquid form, so it's no longer solid. And then take those little cubes of cobia. Oh, first, let's go start the grill. And if you can do it on charcoal grill.
Better.
10 times better than just like a gas grill. This is what really brings out the flavor.
Yep.
And get that charcoal grill nice, hot, and ready. And you don't even you can have a bowl of butter right next to the grill with the cubes of cut up cobia.
Soaking it.
And soak it in there and then put it on the grill. And when I say soak it, like dripping
now,
butter.
One of the things that I do to make it actually work is I always make sure I dry my fillets really, really
before
well.
You dunk them in the butter?
Before I
Good.
Put them in the
Good
butter.
Point.
Because
Good point.
If you don't dry the fillets, the butter's not going to stick to it.
Right. Water and oils repel each other, you know?
Yeah.
It
you,
does.
You got to pat them all dry either with a paper towel or cloth towel or something, but get them as dry as possible. Then you slide them into that butter and they're coated
Sticks.
In it.
Yes. So... Good. That's a very minute point, but that's like probably the success to my recipe. Thank you for saving me on that. So
it works.
So after you soak it in those cubes in the butter and you put it immediately on the grill, that butter is still going to be, this is like the key ingredient here. The butter is going to seep into the charcoal grill and then like cause like an eruption. Like, and the fire will go and like sear the cobia.
Right.
And that flavor, after it cooks, like, you know, for about less than 10 minutes, each piece of cube, just judge it based on how hot your grill is, and you flip it over a few times. That burning of the butter on the filet with the charcoal taste, like, out of this world. That is, like, my cobia recipe. You just cook them until they're, you know, that white fish flaky white, and turn them over a few times, and then that's it.
Just take a knife and kind of push it apart till you see it flaking, or a fork until you see it flaking up good.
Yep, and take it off the thing and, like... I mean, I know you could, and then you could put a side of veggies, side of rice, whatever you like. But to
nice.
Me, that's this garlic butter with cobia. It's so simple, so amazing. I can do it. Any millennial can do it. And
oh no, don't go that far. No?
Yeah, don't go that far.
Yeah,
most millennials can't even microwave a hot dog. It's
okay. I really am not comfortable with a millennial and a hot skillet. Okay.
How
millennials, please get your mom or dad or grandparents to help you get that thing, and it will be hot.
How much time we got, Frank?
I got 1 minute, and we're going to say grace.
All right, real quick. Same exact recipe, no kidding. Add a little bit of sauerkraut and put it on a toasted rye bread, and you have a very good sandwich.
Oh, man.
It is amazing.
You add some sauerkraut and what?
Ooh. Take the same recipe for the cobia, the cobia we just cooked.
Yeah.
Take you some sauerkraut and some toasted rye bread and make you a Reuben sandwich using cobia.
A Reuben? A cobia Reuben.
That's right.
Now I've had grouper Reuben.
No, man.
I've had,
cobia
I've
Reuben.
Never had a that really sounds good.
Oh. It is extremely good.
That really sounds good.
It is delicious.
It's 7:30 while we're at p.m. while we're recording this, and this sounds amazing.
I want one now. All right, let's say a word of prayer.
Well, we got, so just to go over this, pat the cobia fillets dry. Put them in the hot butter, and it's, what kind of butter is this?
Garlic herb.
Garlic herb butter, and then put them on the grill till you get nice and brown, starting to flake up good, and then, now do you heat the sauerkraut?
Yeah, heat it up, just like you would on a regular Reuben sandwich, just heat it up a little bit, have your same setup here, you got your fillet of your cobia, slap it on your toasted Reuben bread, and let me tell you something, it is amazing.
Okay, boys and girls, this sounds great. So we're going to say grace just to get started with this meal because I'm hungry. I think we're going to go eat.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for another glorious day. And Father, we just honor and glorify you in all the things we say and do. Father, bless our food, our drinks, and nourish these things into our body to become your service, and forgive us for where we fail you. Father, we want to lift up Daddy Frank. As he's recovering.
Oh, my father.
Yeah,
I
think
you.
Wait
a minute.
And then we had a biker that got killed last night. Father, we just pray for comfort for that family. And Father, we just want to thank you for all the time we get to spend in fellowship with one another. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Well, that was good, Donnie. That was nice. And I'm sorry about your buddy, the biker guy.
Yeah, I think that one was out of Ohio or Pennsylvania. I do apologize, I'm on one of the biker sites, and
no, it's all good.
All over the nation, they call and ask for our prayers and help with the families after they recover. We do a support our bikers and support our troops. So any of the veterans and any bikers out there, give us a call. We like to help you out as much as we can.
Okay, and that's Grace by Faith Church. And this is, hang on, that's supposed to be playing. Producer here is horrible.
Gotta work on a new producer. Yeah, I know.
Work on a new producer guy here. All right, well, this is Fish and Frank. That's Pastor Donnie. And that's Captain Barry over there.
TarpinWorld.com if you want to check me out.
TarpinWorld.com. You can go check out Captain Barry. So, we will catch you on the next Cooking Fish. I'm hungry. We're going to get going. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that...
Cooking.